Well, morning, folks, here at the Church in the Marketplace. It's good to be with you as we explore God's Word together. And if you're listening in online, then it's great to have you joining us, and we pray that God will bless you as you listen in with us. That's fine if it's just being recorded. That's all right. That's okay, because we probably haven't got people upstairs. One of the things I love about Christmas season is all the lights. Who likes lights at Christmas time? Okay. It's so amazing. I mean, Christmas lights up the world at Christmas time. In the Northern Hemisphere, because December is the winter solstice, and it's the longest night of the year. But even though the daylight hours are the longest here in Australia, the same thing sort of happens. So first of all, the lights come on in the stores, and then they come on in the cities around us and in the council malls and the parks and the centres, and then all the houses put up their lights. Christmas does light up the world in a special kind of way. And I suspect we probably know that light is a major theme in the Bible. The Bible says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The Bible says the first act of creation was, let there be light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. At Christmas, the very first Christmas, light played a major role. The angels put on a spectacular light show for the shepherds when they announced, behold, born this day in the city of David is a Saviour. There's that word again, Christ the Lord. And when the wise men followed some kind of bright star, we don't know exactly what it was, it led them to find Jesus. So light played a major role in the because Christmas is a celebration of God's light entering the world, the single most important event in history when God comes to earth in human form. So what does it mean when it talks about God sending Jesus to be the light of the world? 1 John says, before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything. So Jesus is part of that creation process with God. Eternal life was in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life, it says, is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Well, what does that stuff mean? Well, I don't think here he's talking about physical darkness. He's talking about spiritual darkness. When we're separated from God and we're trying to do our own thing, we're in spiritual darkness. It's why things don't make sense to us, why we can't always figure stuff out. For some of us, 2018 has been a dark year. Let's be honest. We're glad it's over. We're looking forward in hope that 2019 will be a better year. Some of us, we lost our job this year. We were laid off. Some of us had major financial problems. Some of us had relational crises with our husband or our wife or our children or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or some family member. Some of us went through a divorce. Some had a death of a loved one. Or we went through a cancer treatment, or we had some dis-ease. Many of us had a tough year. Folks, God still wants to light up our lives. So that's our goal for today. Our goal is that God would shed his light on us and we would understand him in a way that perhaps we've not understood God before. So I'm going to give us 5 reasons Jesus came to earth, reasons that we celebrate Christmas. So as we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord, Jesus is the light of the world. And we're a part of the world, so that means somehow he is light for us. As we come to this day of worship, we pray that he would be able to shine a little more of the light he is into our lives. In his name we pray. Amen. I think first reason Jesus came was to let us know what God is like. Have you ever had a flash of insight and said it was like a light bulb went off in my mind? It's what we call enlightenment. All of a sudden, something we couldn't figure out before, or all of a sudden it made sense. All of a sudden things became clearer and you thought, that makes sense. Now I can see why that's happened. Now I can see what God's doing. The first benefit of knowing Jesus is some confusion is replaced with clarity. We see ourselves more clearly, we see God more clearly, we see life more clearly, we understand our problems more clearly, we see other people more clearly, because all of a sudden the light has been turned on. The Bible says understanding God's word brings light to the minds of people. And folks, there's a lot of stuff that will confuse us. Our future, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next year. Or our relationships, I don't know how to get on with it. Or I don't know how to get out of it. Or I don't know what to do about it. John 12 says, I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in darkness. Jesus said, I don't want you to be in the dark about yourself, about your problems, about your situations. Most of all, I don't want you to be in the dark about what God is really like. And we can't relate to some impersonal force in the sky. When God comes in human form, that we can understand. We can understand that God wants to relate to us. He became a human being so we could understand what God is really like. Why is that important? Well, because if we knew what God is really like, we'd worry a whole lot less and we'd be afraid a whole lot less and we'd be a whole lot less stressed. When we don't know what God's like, we tend to avoid God. When we don't know what God is really like, we tend to run from God. When we don't know what God's like, we tend to be afraid of God. When we don't know what God's like, we don't bring our problems to God. We try to solve them ourselves. So God says, first of all, you've got to know what I'm really like. So I'm going to come to earth in human form. John 14 says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Now that's a fairly arrogant sort of statement, unless it's true. Jesus stands up and says, take a look at me. If you've seen me, you've seen God. Nobody has ever backed up a claim like that except Jesus. Of all the ways he could have chosen, Jesus came as a baby. He came into the world the same way every one of us came into the world, by being born into it. Why did he do that? I guess because he wanted to save us and not to scare us. And nobody's afraid of a baby. If I was God, I could think of more significant, more spectacular ways to enter the world. There are a lot of ways God could have come to earth that would have wowed everybody and scared everybody to death, but he came into the world just like you and me by being born into it as a baby. Of course, there are things we can learn about God without reading the Bible. We can learn about a lot about God in nature. We can look at nature and know that God likes variety, and we can look at nature and know that God is organized, and we can look at nature and know that God is powerful. But there are some things about God we would never know except he came to earth to tell us through Jesus. For instance, how do we know that God is loving? There's only one way we know it, because Jesus told us God is loving. How do we know that God is forgiving? How do we know that there's eternal life? We wouldn't know it in nature. It's because of Jesus. Colossians 1 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He says, I want you to know what I'm really like. That's the first reason he came. The second reason Jesus came, I think, was to inform us that God has a purpose for our lives. God created us for a purpose. We're not here by accident. God, the Bible says, planned the days of our lives while we were in our mother's womb, before we were even born. Jesus said, I came into the world to tell people the truth. Do you ever get tired of people lying to you? The only person who will always tell you the truth, it's God. God will tell us the truth no matter what. And God says he has a purpose for you and for your life and for my life. So what is God's purpose? The Bible says God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. Don't you hate it when somebody knows a secret and you don't? Well, here it is. Fortunately, God says, I want you in on the plan. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago, and this is his plan. At the right time, God will bring everything together under the authority of Christ over heaven and earth. History is moving towards a climax, and it's going to culminate in the reign and the rule of Jesus. It goes on to say, furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. An inheritance. That's kind of what we're hoping to get when our parents die. It's something good that we don't get now, but we're going to get later. The Bible says God has an inheritance for us, heaven, life lived in God's forever presence when we put our trust and our faith in him here. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as he decided long ago. What's God's plan for the universe and for us? Here it is in a nutshell. The reason we're alive, the reason our heart is beating, is because God wanted a family. That's it. He didn't need a family. He wasn't lonely. He's a loving God, and he wanted to create us in order to love us. Humanity was created to be loved by God. In fact, the Bible tells us that God formed the entire universe just so human life could exist. It tells us that God created the universe and then he created the world with just the right rotation and just the right access and just the right combination of water and air that would sustain life. Then he created us. We're not an accident. God knows us and loves us, and he wants us to know and love him back. And if we really grasp that, we will never again have a problem with inferiority. We'll never again have a problem with insecurity or low self-esteem when we realize that the entire universe was created to sustain us so that God could love us. That's amazing. Why did God do it? Because he loves us. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. That's how much we matter to God. What should my response to that be when I understand how God created the whole universe, created human life, created me so I could be loved by him and saved by him and taken home with him into eternity? What should my response to that be? Deep, deep gratitude. Paul says it this way: when I think of the wisdom and scope of God's plan, I fall on my knees and pray to the Father. He says, I'm overwhelmed by how cool, how great, how good, how wonderful, how gracious God is. He says, I fall on my knees and I pray to the Father. The third reason why Jesus came to earth, why we celebrate Christmas, is Jesus came to guide our steps. In John 8, Jesus says, I'm the light, there it is again, of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness, for living light will flood your path. Jesus says, I want to light your path. I want to direct you through life. I want to be your guiding light. You know why? Because God can see further than we can. We are only one phone call away from a total life change. I'm sorry, we've got bad news in the lab report. I'm sorry, a loved one has just died. Our life can change just like that. That's why it's scary, because we can't see down the path. Jesus says, if you follow me, I'm holding the light, not you. And as I hold the light, you follow me, because I can see further than you can, and then you don't have to worry about what's going to happen next year. A lot of our fears happen because we can't see clearly. Of course we all experience dark days. Between us, we've had a bunch of them in 2018. We're all going to have more of them in 2019. Life has ups and downs. There are dark days of disappointment when our dreams crumble, when our plans fall apart, when things don't turn out the way we intended. There are dark days of doubt when we wonder, am I up to the task? Can I make it in life? I'm struggling with a decision. I've lost my confidence. There are days of distress when we're stressed out by finances or relationships or a physical illness. There are dark days of defeat and depression when we feel like we've totally failed. We've blown it. We don't know what to do. Disease, divorce, death of a loved one, they can create dark days in our lives. And when we're in those dark days, we know what we need. We need God's guidance. You see, what we normally do when we come up to a problem that we can't control on our own, what we typically do is we don't turn to God. What we typically do is we go back in the recesses of our mind to a kind of emotional chest of drawers, and we open it up, and inside the chest of drawers are kind of like all these little flashlights. We can't see a way through our problems, so we decide we'll figure it out on our own instead of going to God. And we pull out the first flashlight and it says relationships. And we start shining it. If I could just get married, life would be great. If I could just get unmarried, life would be great. If I could just have kids who were like, if my kids would grow up and go off to uni, life would be great. We think relationships are going to make our life great, but that's not going to fulfill our lives. So we reach in the drawer and we pull out another flashlight. This one says job or career. If I could just change jobs, then everything would be so right. Or it'd be wonderful and I could see clearly. A new job is going to make things clear, but it doesn't work. Or we could pull out another one that says location. You know, if I could just move to Tasmania or Tamworth, things would be great. And there's a problem with that, of course, because when I move, I'm taking me along. It's not the location. Or, you know, we think if I go to this seminar, if I read this book or if I listen to this podcast, it'll change my life. Or we pull out one that says sex or drugs or make more money, that'd be it. If I could just make more money, then I'd see everything clearly and life would be smooth sailing. Folks, we don't need a flashlight. We need the light. The light of the world. We need God in our lives. God isn't some puny little flashlight. He's a searchlight. And we need a searchlight. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So let me ask you a question. What are you having a hard time figuring out in your life? Everyone's got some problems in life right now. We're either coming out of some problem, we're in one right now, we're getting ready to have the next one. Congratulations. We're going to have problems. We're going to have dark days. What is it that you can't figure out right now? You say, I can't see it. I'm in the dark. I need a guiding light. I can't see how this will all work out. And what do we do then? Well, it's like we flip a light switch and turn on the light, God's light. And what's the switch that turns on God's light in our lives? We call it faith. When we say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do this next semester at school. I can't figure it out, but I'm going to trust you. Boom. You just flipped the switch and you turned on the light. I don't know what the problem is in this relationship. It's not working out, but I'm going to trust you. You just flipped the switch. God, I'm having a problem with my kids. I'm having a problem at work. I'm having a problem with my health. My finances are falling apart, but I'm going to trust you. You just flipped the switch. You turned on the light. We ask Jesus to help us to trust him, and he will. What happens when I do that? It says the light makes all things easy to see. There's a fourth reason we celebrate Christmas, and this one is really good news. Jesus said, I came to heal your hurts. Jesus came at Christmas to heal our hurts. You might have figured out now we've got L-I-G-H-N-T. It's very clever. Everybody has a hidden wound. Everybody has a place they're hurting that's hidden from everybody else. We may be hiding it very well. We may all look very sophisticated or cool or hip or we've got it all together, supposedly. Of course, we all know that we don't have it all together because nobody does. It may be something that happened a long time ago, something that was said to us and it hurt, something that was done to us and it hurt, something that wasn't done to us that should have been done and it hurts. Or maybe it's a hurt about some things that we've done and we regret it and we feel ashamed about it and guilty and we've hidden it in the closet. We don't want anybody to know about it because it's painful and it's embarrassing and it still hurts. Then at Christmas time, it's supposed to be a happy time. We say this is the season to celebrate. But in reality, a lot of people at Christmas are lonely. A lot of people at Christmas are hurting. A lot of people at Christmas are going to hang out with family members and there are unresolved issues. They don't really want to see them. There are all kinds of undercurrents and unresolved conflicts. They're stressed out and depressed. Not everybody has a Hallmark card family. But here's the good news. No matter where we are hurting, Jesus can heal it. Resentment, worry, guilt, fear, bitterness, boredom, whatever. Jesus can heal our hurt because he is the light of the world. Interesting, isn't it, that doctors have discovered the healing power of light. Today there are all kinds of ways that doctors use light. You can check with Susan later. She can tell you all of them probably. I mean, we're familiar with lasers. Lasers are used in all kinds of surgeries. They're used for cancer surgery and for eye surgery. They use light to give sight. Isn't that interesting? And that's the principle. We need the light to get the sight to see life as it really is. We need God's light in our lives. It's pretty amazing what doctors can do today in healing people. But only God can heal a broken heart. Only God can heal a broken spirit. Only God can heal a broken relationship. Only God can heal a broken dream. He says, come to me because I came to heal your hurt. That's why Jesus came to save us. John 12 says, I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save it. Jesus said, I didn't come to tell you what a bad person you are. I didn't come to put you down. I came to save you. We need a Savior. That's why the angels at the first Christmas said, I bring you tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Psalm 103 says, he forgives all my sins and he heals me. That's all my sins. It's through the forgiveness of sins we find emotional healing. And you know, most of the world's remedies about emotional hurts, they don't work because they're cover-ups. They don't deal with the issue. They just soothe us for a night. I can go and pop a pill or get drunk or go sleep with a stranger and the next morning I've still got the same problem. It didn't resolve anything. It was a temporary solution to soothe the ache in my heart. We need more than values and principles to live by. We need a Savior. And there's only one person who ever promised to be our Savior. That's Jesus. The fastest thing in the universe is the speed of light. What is it? 186,000 miles in the old thing, a second. And if you don't believe that, here's something you can go home and do. Try to open the refrigerator door before the light comes on. All right, just go home and do another experiment. Just see how fast you are. The speed of light is the fastest thing in the universe. Well, there's only one thing that's faster. A few people just think, it's God's answer to us when we ask him to save us. It is instant. There is no delay. There is no waiting period. There's no cooling off time. It's immediate. The moment we say, God, help, I need you, when we say that, it's instant. He came to light up our minds so we could see what God's like. He came to inform us of God's purpose. He came to tell us the truth. He came to guide our steps. He came to heal our hurts, and he came to transform our lives. John 10 says, I came to give life, not religion, notice, life in all its fullness. Unfortunately, many people never learn how to really live. They're just existing. So Jesus came to say, I want to talk to you about three kinds of life, new life, abundant life, and eternal life. He takes care of our past, our present, and our future. He says, I want to give you new life. That means everything we've ever done wrong is completely forgiven and forgotten. He wipes the slate clean. We get a fresh start. What a deal that is. And then he says, I want to give you abundant life. What's that? Well, that's a life of meaning and purpose and significance. We were made for more than survival. We were made for more than success. We were made for significance. Jesus calls it abundant life, living a life where our values and our meaning and our significance all come together. We're living a life that God means for us to live. And then he says, and by the way, I'm going to give you eternal life. It's kind of like God's retirement plan. He says, we're going to take care of your past and your present and your future. That's my Christmas gift to you in Jesus. Who in the world would turn down something like that? It's amazing to me that at the first Christmas, the wise men, it says they saw this star, this bright star, a shining light in the sky, and they followed it from east to west to find Jesus. For 2,000 years, astronomers have been trying to figure out what that star was. Was it Halley's Comet or a meteorite or an asteroid? And we don't know, honestly. But the thing is, everybody saw it. The wise men weren't the only people who saw it. It was in the sky. There was nothing in the Bible that says the wise men were the only people who saw the star. Everybody saw it. They didn't do anything about it. They saw the light, but they didn't do anything about it. The wise men saw the light, and they followed it to Jesus. Maybe that's why they call them the wise men. How wise am I? How wise are you? It's one thing to know Jesus is the light of the world. It's another thing to let him light up our lives. See, we've got to choose to live in the light and start living that way. Without light, there'd be no warmth in the world. Without light, there'd be no color in the world, because all of that comes from light. There'd be no beauty. There'd be no growth. There'd be no health. There'd be no life, because we can't live without light physically. And we can't live spiritually without spiritual light. We need to come alive with God's light. When we let the light of Jesus into our lives, and we're guided by it, and we're comforted by it, and we're challenged by it, and we're changed by it, what will happen if we open up our lives to Jesus? The Bible says the darkness in our lives disappears, and the new light of life in Christ shines in. And the Bible says this: when anyone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. So friends, my prayer for you today is that as you do all those joyful things of Christmas, and as you struggle with maybe some of the painful things of Christmas, my prayer is that you will ask God, the God we know in Jesus, to light up your life. Let's pray. Maybe today your prayer is, God, I've known about you, but I've never really got to know you personally. So today I want to do just that. As best as I understand it, I ask you, Jesus, to be my Savior, my Lord, my manager, to be the light of my life. I want to accept your gift of new life and abundant life and eternal life. Maybe your prayer today simply is like Paul's. You just want to fall on your knees and say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you for the new life and the abundant life and the eternal life that I have. This Christmas, I pray that you will do in me whatever you need to do to light up my life for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.